First Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. And when you're there, you know, we're going to start with 1. When you're there, say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, let a man sow. I'm in the KJV. And this is Paul to the church at Corinth. Amen, the first letter. But right here, Paul says, let a man sow account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Y'all see that? Moreover, it is required. Say it's required. It's required in stewards that a person be found faithful. Let's declare that together, verse 1 and 2 together, and then we're going to go to Luke 6, 16. Let a man sow account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man or person be found faithful. Say faithful. Amen. Let's go now to Luke 16. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians 4. We'll come back later. Amen. But Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Luke 16, verse 10. And when you're there, say amen. It says, he that is faithful, and this is the Lord Jesus, of course, you know, it's in red. Is your Bible in red? Okay. And this is Jesus teaching. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Y'all see that? And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful, there it is again, in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another person's, who shall give you that which is your own? Let's declare that together, verse 10 through 12. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also what? In much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. May all God's people say amen, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of our life-changing King. Say King Jesus. Say it's all about him. Say it's all about him. Because it really is. It's all about him. Amen. Look to your neighbor and say it's all about Jesus. He's the center. He's the circumference. He's the base. He's the boundaries, he's the balance, he's the beauty, he's the sum, and he's the substance of what our lives are all about. Say it's all about Jesus. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, it's about Jesus. Jesus didn't just start off. How many people know he didn't just start off in the book of Matthew? Hallelujah. How many people know that the Bible is a hymn book? Not just an H-Y-M-N book, but it's a H-I-M book. It's a book about him. It's the Father pointing to his Son. See, it's the Father pointing to his Son. Hallelujah. Genesis, y'all know. Yeah, how many people know about Jesus? Even back then, say back then. He's the seed of the woman who bruised the serpent's head. How many people know that? Genesis, Exodus, he's our Passover lamb. And Leviticus, he's our high priest forever. How many people know what I'm talking about? Say, how many people know about Jesus? Amen. In the book of Numbers, he's that pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night. Say Jesus. In Deuteronomy, he's that prophet like unto Moses. How many people know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. How many people know that in the book of in the book of Ruth, he's our near kinsman redeemer? He's our Boaz, not Bozo. Say it. He's our Boaz. Hallelujah. And Joshua, he's our captain of the Lord's host. Oh, the man with our plan. How many people know that with Jesus, It's called the theophany, a physical manifestation of Jesus in the Old Testament. Amen. Joshua was surveying the land, and they were looking about how they can take Jericho. Amen. None can get in and none can get out. Right? So say Joshua. And Joshua says, he sees a man, and he thinks, he says, are you for us or are you for our enemies? I'm paraphrasing it. This is in Joshua 6. Are you for us or are you for our enemies? He says, I ain't for none of y'all. Go ahead and take those sandals off. Because the place where you stand in is holy ground. And the Lord, theophany, physical manifestation of Jesus in the Old Testament, the captain, say the captain of the Lord's host. The captain of the Lord's host, he's the man with our plan. He begins to give Joshua a plan on how to take Jericho. So just like he gave Joshua a plan on how to take Jericho and the children of Israel on how to take Jericho, guess what? He's the man with your plan. Amen. How many people know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the God man. Amen. Hallelujah. Say Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory be to God. So it's really all about him. Say it's all about. The point is what? It's all about Jesus. And amen. It's the Father pointing to his Son. But first, but of course, y'all know we've been in 1 Corinthians 4:2, and we've been dealing with stewardship. Say stewardship. Last week, we started a series dealing with our stewardship as believers. Amen. And remember, like we talked about last week, there's a progression of growth. Say a progression of growth in Christianity that all of us as believers should be involved in. It consists of these seven things, amen, or seven areas. Starts with relationship. How many people got a relationship with God? How many people received Jesus Christ? Amen, amen, amen. You ain't just into religion. You have relationship. How many people got a relationship with God? But that deals with salvation or being born again. Amen. And y'all know we gave y'all the scriptural text just really in John chapter 3, verse 3. Y'all remember Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Then it moves from relationship and it should move to discipleship. Say discipleship. Or following Jesus, amen. But then also, and we gave you Luke 9:23 and also Luke 14:26, but then to stewardship, say stewardship, or being faithful managers over what God owns. Faithful managers over what God owns. Amen. And again, we are in the text that we're dealing with, and we'll continue that in a second. But then there's the partnership. So we got relationship, we got discipleship, we got stewardship, but then we got partnership, which is being co-laborers together with God. Are you a worker together with God? Are you a co-laborer together with God? According to Philippians chapter 1, verse 7. But then there's sonship. Say sonship. Or growing into spiritual maturity. Say growing up. A spiritual house, being conformed to the image of Christ is really what we're talking about. Amen. And that's in John chapter 1, verse 12. To as many as received him, to them he gave power or authority to become the sons of God, to as many as believe on his name. And we had quoted earlier in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, to as many as are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. So this deals with this sonship or spiritual maturity. Say spiritual maturity. How many people are growing? Say, I'm growing up, not just physically, but I'm growing spiritually. Somebody, how many people? So you got folk, you know, like with us, you look at us, don't look like we missing too many meals. Physically. Physically. Say physically speaking. But how about spiritually? Could it be possible that if we were able to see in the spirit realm, in which we are able to see there, Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're gonna deal with that one day. But in terms of that, what would you look like? What would you look like? Would you be a spiritual anorexia? Malnutrition. Okay. Y'all pray for me. Y'all work with me. Amen. So not only should we, and this is where we deal with the whole person. Say the whole person. Spirit, soul, and body. Say spirit, soul, and body. Some people, they find they're doing okay when it comes to physical. Say physical. But then what about your soul? And then what about your spirit? Are you growing spiritually speaking? Bible says, I pray God your whole spirit. Thessalonians, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord. So we need to be growing what? Also spiritually. See, I'm growing up in here. A spiritual house. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. But then also, so relationship, discipleship, stewardship, partnership, sonship. But all of this is in the fellowship. Say in the fellowship. The fellowship means that we have all things sharing in common. It means sharing in common, or we have all things in common. Our first commonality is Christ. Say in the fellowship, which means what brought us together is Christ. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we have in common initially. Are y'all with me? Say initially. But then in terms of us getting into God's word, getting God's word into us, we learn about who we're in. If any person be in Christ, we are what? A new creation. So all of us are in the body of Christ. We have commonality and we share things in common. That's what the fellowship. So when you're in the fellowship, don't get it. So you have what? Let's hit it again. Relationship. Say relationship. But then we got discipleship. But then we got stewardship. But then we got partnership. But then we got sonship, all in the fellowship, but it's all up under his lordship. Oh, yeah. See, it's got to be all up under. See, us in the fellowship should be all up under his lordship. Say, Christ is lordship. You got some folk, they say they receive him as their savior. You can save me. You can give me fire insurance, but don't try to tell me what to do. This is those folk that say, that have this idea. We say, once saved, always saved. Yeah, you should be always saved once you get saved, once you truly get saved. But you got some folk just living however they want to live. After they say, I came up here and I received the Lord, but then you got saved, but the question is, are you living saved? Oh, yeah. So it's one thing to get saved, but then are you living saved? You work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling, or you let your salvation work out of you. So when you truly save, you live like it. I'm feeling my help coming. Where we going is some folk has received him. They say, you can be my savior, but you ain't gonna tell me what to do. You ain't gonna be my Lord. He said, why say Lord, Lord, if you have no intentions on doing what I say? So when you talk about Bible, there's no way I'm talking about in the New Testament where you can say he's my savior, but apart from being your Lord. Because he is my savior and you my Lord. But that's a thing personally that you have to receive his lordship. Yeah. See, he's the Lord over the universe. But is he your Lord? That means he governs me. He tells me what to do. See, I just sensed in my spirit that somebody, probably nobody in here, but could have been somebody out there on Facebook Live, they had a problem with that part where, you know, telling me what to do. See, that's your problem right there. That's your problem because you're still sitting on the throne of your life. See, when we talk about lordship, is that you've allowed him as Lord and King to sit on the throne of your life. You ain't just saved me, you my Lord. So I do what you say. For some people, they say, hold on. I believe the Lord and I work with him in principle. I believe what he say in principle, just not in practice. A principle Christian. Just not practicing one. You want to be both. Look to your neighbor and say, you want to be both. A principled Christian, but also a practicing Christian. And the people said, relationship, discipleship, stewardship, partnership, sonship, in the fellowship, all under what? Christ is Lordship. That's why you got to stay in the ship. Look to your neighbor and say, stay in the ship. Don't get out the ship. Yes, look to your neighbor and say, stay in the ship. Stay in relationship. Stay in discipleship. Stay in stewardship. Stay in partnership. Stay in sonship. All in God's fellowship. All under Christ's lordship. Are you with me? The fellowship all really means the body of Christ, the family of God. Amen. Amen. But this morning, y'all know we're dealing with our stewardship. Say our stewardship. And y'all know our title was stewardship, stewardship, this is the title, stewardship, getting to manage what God owns, or managing what God owns. And y'all know our subtitle was preparing to go to our next level. Preparing to go to our next level. Who want to move to your next level? In God. Who's ready to move to your next level in God? Who ready? I want to take a picture. Go ahead. Raise your hand. Who wanna move to your next level? Okay. All right. Question is, can you be trusted on your current level? Can you be trusted right now? If we can be trusted on our current level, we can be trusted on any level. We can be trusted what? On any level. Current level, listen, remember, current level faithfulness produces next level fruitfulness. Faithfulness today, right now, produces fruitfulness tomorrow. Question is, let's ask ourselves, can I be trusted today, right now? Am I faithful today, right now? Can God trust me today? God requires faithfulness from us. I'm just giving review right now. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required. Say it's a requirement. It's a requirement. Y'all know, like, for certain things, in order for you to get certain things in this world, there's certain requirements. Say there's certain requirements. In order for you to get a driver's license, you gotta first get a permit, and then you gotta take a test. See, that's a requirement. You know, folk, you got some folk, they'll follow all the requirements that are told them of some man or woman. But then when God give a requirement, all of a sudden you want to act all funny. It is required that a person, a steward, be found what? Faithful. The NIV says it this way. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust, must prove faithful. So faithfulness is required. Say it's a requirement. It's required in stewards. God seeks after it. Part of this definition of required means God is looking for it in us. He expects it from us. Say he expects it from us. You know, the only thing, let me say it, Holy Ghost, it's mandatory. See, when I was in the Army, certain things was mandatory. It's not optional. Well, you know, if you feel like, you know, coming in and coming to work, then you can. No. That was what? Mandatory. There were certain meetings that you had to be at. And it is mandatory. Come on, say mandatory. How about on your job? There's certain things that are mandatory. Mandatory. Mandated. Got a little quiet. God views faithfulness as mandatory or not optional. Because he's looking for it. He expects it from us. Amen. Because he mandated it. So we're to be faithful even if others are not faithful. Because God requires it from us. Listen, some folk, they're looking at other folk. Well, so-and-so ain't faithful. But God says, what's that got to do with you? I require this from you. That's why with some folk, you ain't going to be able to blame other folk. As to the reason when you stand before God, we're going to all stand before God. All of us. It said that each person shall give an account. It's in your and my Bible. To God. So you ain't going to be able to blame other folk as to the reason why they didn't do what they supposed to do. He's going to say, what that got to do with you? Well, so-and-so, they ain't been doing it. That's the reason why I seen so-and-so. And I was watching them while they, okay. And God's like, okay, what did I require of you? Let you never say faithfulness is mandatory. It's required. Even in with our secular jobs, y'all know, our employers, they require faithfulness from us as well. And how many people know that we represent God well when we're faithful or trustworthy on our secular jobs? Do you know you're representing God everywhere you go? God is looking at all of our stewardship. Are you a faithful steward? We dealt with, yeah, I know last week, what is a steward? A steward is a manager. Say a manager. Or someone that manages the possessions of another. You and I have been entrusted, say entrusted, by God. If you think about that, to manage his affairs on earth. Say, God's the, do you know that you the only God that some people will see is you? What I'm saying is your representation. I ain't talking about you being God. I'm talking about your representation of him. Your feet, your arms, your legs are going somewhere. And you go, you're representing the kingdom. How many people know we're representatives of Christ? We're ambassadors. Say, I'm an ambassador for Christ. What kind of ambassador are you? Do you represent the kingdom? Do you represent the king? Are you faithful? Say, God's the owner. And we get to manage what he owns. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and everything. Say everything. That dwells therein. The NIV says it this way. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. The New Living Translation says it this way. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. That's pretty clear. That includes you and I. So God's the owner. Look to your neighbor and say, God's the owner of everything and everyone. But he's allowed us, me and you, to manage it on his behalf. So you and I are stewards. Stewardship deals with how we manage what we've been given or what's been entrusted to us. I want to give you a scripture. Just write this down. Genesis 2:15. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Say, to dress it and to keep it. To dress it was to work it, to take care of it. And to keep it is to protect it, guard it. This deals with the stewardship of God's creation. Say stewardship. Humanity has been entrusted with the care and management of God's creation. Say God's creation. It's also, I'm going somewhere. I hope y'all know. It's also managing, listen, the resources, right? What you, in other words, the things that you've been given, the abilities, the talents. Do you know there's management of that? Your giftings, your talents. How are you managing that? How about the opportunities? So it's about managing the physical things that God has given you. But then there's gifts and talents and abilities that God has given to you. How are you managing that? But then there's opportunities that God is opening up to you. How are you doing with that? The NLT says of 1 Corinthians 4:2, now a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. What does faithfulness mean? Or what does it mean to be faithful? It means to be trustworthy. Say trustworthy. Are you a trustworthy person? That means worthy of first God's trust. Say what? Worthy of what? God's trust. Can I teach? Is this okay? Worthy of God's. Can God trust you? First, can you trust God? See, some folk, what I'm saying, when I say can you trust God, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Or I like to think of it this way, the just shall live off their faith. Oh, yeah. Meaning, how you gonna live is determined on your belief system. What can you believe God for? Oh, yeah. The just shall live by their faith, or you're gonna live on the level of where your faith is at. I think that's a better interpretation, you know, to explanation. Are you with me? Meaning, if your faith can't go there, you can't go there. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about based on God's word. I'm not talking about something you make up and you trying to do your own thing. I'm talking about you going based on God's word. Say based on God's word, according to God's will, God's way. Are y'all with me? So. The question is it talks about in terms of just shall live by their faith or live off their faith. Are you gonna live off your faith? Are you living off your faith? Are you a trustworthy person? Can God trust you? And can you trust God? But then also, can others trust you? So it's worthy of God's trust, but also other people's trust. It's getting a little quiet. Say it's tight. It's right. It's in there. Bible says, they that love that law, nothing shall offend them. Meaning when you love the word of God, you can correct me. Yeah, you can point out where I done missed it. Mm-hmm. Say all of us. The question is, again, are you a trustworthy person? I just want you to think about that right now. Can you trust God for his resources? For his abilities? Can God trust you with his resources? His abilities. Can God trust you and us, all of us, with the opportunities he gives? Have you learned how to rely on God? Can God rely on you at your current level? The main principle, y'all remember, say right now. Because some folk, they, well, you know, if I once I get here, then I'll do this. I'll deal with that in a second. The main principle of management, remember, and again, it's just review, or biblical stewardship answers this question, what are you doing with what you have right now? It's assessing where we are right now. Before we can deal with moving to our next level, we first have to listen, assess and address our current level. God, listen, God first tests us, trusts us. He tests, trusts to prove us on our current level or our now level before we can move to our next level. Some people want to move to their next level, but have you been faithful on your current level? Yeah. I asked the question. Who ready to move to their next level? And then God says, okay, where are you right now? No, I mean, this is all of us. He deals with all of us. He deal with me. Come on, are y'all with me? We're not some paragon of virtue. It's all about him. He deals with all of us. Say us. That's why you notice I put all of us. Well, no, we grow. Say all of us. But he deals with our stewardship. Say our stewardship. Go look back at our text in Luke 16:10. Luke 16:10. Jesus, this is Jesus. Say the Lord Jesus. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also what? In much. That word unjust there means dishonest. So the person that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, right? And y'all know the least here means with very little or a small amount or smaller matters or smaller responsibilities. Ah, yeah. Or that which may appear to be insignificant. The word much here means many, or a large, or a great amount, or a lot, right? Or larger or greater responsibilities. So if we can be trusted by God with a little bit, or smaller matters, or smaller responsibilities, we can also be trusted by God with a lot, or in greater matters, or in greater responsibilities. Listen, the amount or size or responsibility doesn't matter. What matters is our faithfulness with what we have. In other words, if God can trust you right now, on the level that you're at right now, he can trust you on any level. The level doesn't matter if you remain faithful, no matter what God tells you to do. You just remain faithful. Whatever he gives you, whatever he entrusted to you, whatever he gave you to manage, you say, I'm going to be faithful no matter what. So where am I right now? Am I being faithful with what God has given me right now? Well, if only I was here, if only I had this, if only I had this, if only I had this, then I would do this. If you can be trusted, I'm just throwing out a number. If you can be trusted with making $40,000 a year, you could be trusted with making $400,000 a year or even $4 million a year. Yeah. But if you can't be trusted managing the $40,000 a year, you will not be trusted making $400,000 a year. It's one thing to tithe on $40,000. It's another thing to tithe on $400,000. And it's a whole nother thing to be tithing on $4 million. Some folk can't tithe on, they ain't tithing right now. Oh, Pastor, did he go there? Yeah, I went there because I'm a tither. I have no problem with talking about money because I am what? I'm a giver and I'm a tither. I was tithing way before we were pastoring. Well, Pastor, get all the money. I told y'all, the pastor don't get all the money. The pastor get a salary just like you get a salary. And the pastor tithe on his salary. The person that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in that which is much. So if I can't be trusted right now, then I won't be trusted. Well, you know what? If I could ever get here, then you know what? I'll be able to. You won't. Because you ain't even got the revelation right now. Is the revelation that makes the difference. Revelation is spiritual sight. It's your revelation that makes the difference. Where you lack revelation, it's not going to make a difference in your life, in that area. Why? Because you can't see. I'm blind. So I'm asking God to open up some folks' eyes to see what God's word says. Don't shout me down when I start preaching. Because I'm praying that all of us grow. I'm talking about not just grow physically, but grow spiritually, grow in your faith. Come on. I want God to move you to the next level. But I got to be willing to look at where I'm at right now in life. What I have right now in life. The person that is faithful, am I in our Bible? The person that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. And those that are unjust or dishonest in the least, they're going to be unjust or dishonest in much. Can God trust me right now? That will determine whether we get to our next level. If I can't be trusted by God right now with a little bit, then you won't trust God when you have a lot. If it's pulling on you right now, oh man. If it's pulling on you right now, guess what? If you get more, it's going to pull even greater because you haven't dealt with the issue of why you're not even doing nothing right now. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to share. I'm a pastor. I'm not going to just hit you with a drive-by and make you just feel good. I'm going to share what thus saith the Lord, what God's word says. As Paul says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And I'm going to give to you what's profitable. How do I develop? If you go to a church and you never challenge, you ain't going to grow. Because people got itching ears. Itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear. Not what thus saith the Lord. The Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. I'm in our Bible. This is a principle. Say a principle. Much a law. We talk about really the law of management. How many people know what I'm talking about? A law is a fixed principle of operation, leaves no room for negotiation, debate, nor discussion. It's going to happen the same way every single time if you work the law, if you work the principle. Are y'all with me? The person that is faithful in that. So it's really looking at, man, where am I right now? Like God is looking, God, can you, God, bless me. God, take me to, God. He says, okay, then what are you doing with what I already gave you? Think about with our kids. You done bought your kids some toys. You bought your kid this and bought your kid that and did this and did that. What are they doing with the toys they already got? What are we teaching them? What are we teaching them? What are we teaching them? How to be more irresponsible? Oh, yeah. Okay. Don't text me. None of that kind of stuff. Yeah. This principle right here is it helps us to, you know what? In order for me to move to where God wants to take me, I got to be honest about where I'm at right now. But it's okay. In the beginning, somebody say it hurts. In the beginning, when you're willing to be honest about where you're at. And everybody may not be, you're not in the same place. We all at different levels. Say we all in different places. So this is not a condemnatory message, but it is a challenging one. Because it's going to help me to grow. It's going to help me to move. Are y'all with me? And the people said, so we have to be tested before we can be trusted. A faith that hasn't been, listen, a faith that hasn't been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. If we can't be trusted right now, we won't be trusted in the future. When God, again, we talked about this, when God speaks prosperity or promotion over a person, listen, he first tests us with a little to see how you do with that. Step by step. Say step by step. You don't get the key to the car if they don't even know how to drive. Okay. Can I be what? Can I be trusted? Right now. No, I just want you to think about areas in your life, and I'm not gonna go there. There's certain areas in our lives, that you know God is speaking to you about where you at right now. I'm praying that God, you know, because God deals with me. God deals with all of us. But I gotta be willing. He takes us step by step. He don't give it to you all at once. Again, if some folk, boy, if they got it, they wouldn't be able to handle it. Again, some folk, we talked about this, they're backslide. Who God? Who that? It's quiet. God is more interested, listen, in us learning a lesson than just trying to get a blessing. Bless me. Give me more. But have I been proven faithful with what we have right now? God ain't blessing a mess. If I can't take care of the apartment, why give me a house? See, this the stuff. See, you got some preachers, they just want, you know, they will just tell you whatever you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what God says to tell you based on his word. Amen? Now, we all excited. Don't get me wrong. We believe in all of God's word. Say all of God's word. You better know that. But what we're sharing is I want to be clear with us about how do I move to my next level in God. And the way we do that is by assessing where I'm at right now. That way, God can keep moving me. He can keep trusting me. So if he can keep trusting us, he can keep promoting us. He can keep developing us. He can keep prospering us. And then God will use you to help other people. Amen? Can God trust you with that car right now? With the job right now? You know, you got some folk, you know. Well, you know, I had got this job, but you know, it didn't work out. Okay, all right. And then I got this other job. We use words like it didn't work out. No, you got fired. Okay. The second time, well, yeah, it didn't work out. Second and third time, it didn't work out. You know, and then the fourth time, it didn't work out. Well, it may not be the job situation. It may be the person. So that may be something that I need to work on. Am I faithful? Do I give up easily? Do I have the spirit of a finisher? Current level of faithfulness produces next level fruitfulness. We really can't qualify for more if we haven't been faithful with what we have right now. Amen? He wants us to maximize what we have right now. How many people say, I'm going to my next level? See. Don't let it, as I'm sharing this, God wants you to be everything he created you to be. Amen? And you can. And then God's going to move you. See, we must learn the lesson of faithfulness on our present level to go to our next level. I'm talking about in God. Starts with purposing in our heart to be faithful. How many people will say, I purpose in my heart to be faithful to God and to others at my current level? And remember, we talked about attitude. Say attitude. It starts with what's your attitude on your current level? What's your attitude toward what you have? What about where you are in life? What's your attitude right now? Because attitude, y'all know, we say this all the time, determines your altitude or how high and far you go. Our attitude determines our altitude with God. What's your attitude toward where you're presently at in life? Some people, again, they despise it. Remember, we were in Zechariah 4:10? It says, for who hath despised the day of small things or small beginnings? Or starts. God was telling Zerubbabel, remember King Zerubbabel, don't despise the small beginnings or where you're at right now. Amen? Or what you have right now. Because God rejoiced to see Zerubbabel starting to build the temple. Are y'all with me? Look to your neighbor and say, don't despise small beginnings or where you're at right now in life or what you have right now in life. Don't despise it. Don't look down low a little upon it. Don't hold it in contempt. Don't view it as beneath you or insignificant. You may not be where you would like to be, but how many people say, I ain't where I used to be? I ain't where I was. Thank God for that. Amen? Because the person today, again, you might be flipping burgers today, but you might be owning that franchise tomorrow. Y'all know what I mean, later on in the future. It's not where you start. It's where you end up. Amen? How many people receive that? Some of us, you just starting out. Don't despise that. Others, you may be somewhere in the middle. Don't despise that. What's your attitude toward where you're at in life? Well, you know what? You know, I'm not making no money. I'm not hardly doing. You saying you're not making no money at all? You see, we're going somewhere. When you do have a salary, you do. How are you managing that? Some folk live above their means. Some folk are looking at other folk and saying, I need to be there. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's how I manage what God has given to me right now. Don't despise that. God can move you to the next level how you treat what you have right now. How am I treating what I have right now? How do I view where I am right now? It matters. It matters. The person that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. So for some of us, we may need to change the way we've been thinking about things. How I've been viewing where I'm at right now and what I have right now. If God can trust me with where I'm at right now, I'm telling you, you are moving. You are moving. Yeah, yeah. Because you've been trusted on your current level. God says, I'm about to move you to your next level. You pass the faithfulness test. Say the faithfulness test. What's your attitude right now? Do you look down on it? No. Say, I'm not going to look down on it. I'm not going to despise where I'm at or what I have. Job 8:7, I'm always reminded, though thy beginning was small. Write that down. Job 8:7. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. For some of us, I'm telling you, if you'll assess and address where you are right now, your latter end is going to greatly increase. The best is yet to come. Say, the best is yet to come for me. Because I can be trusted right now by God. And God says, I'm going to give this person more. Why? Because they're taking care of what I've already given them. They're being a great manager over what I've already. Say, what I've already given them. So check out your attitude. Do you have an attitude problem? Or do you need an attitude adjustment? How many people know God is an attitude adjuster? Attitude matters. Because if your attitude is wrong, you're going to treat it wrong. If your attitude is wrong about it, you're going to treat it in that manner. Father, I thank you. That's why you think we always still with thankfulness and gratefulness. Father, I thank you for where I'm at right now. I thank you for the things that you've already given me. Father, I am appreciative of where I'm at right now and what you're doing in my life right now. And Father, I thank you for what you're about to do. Why? Because you can trust me right now. So it's making some adjustments. Say adjustments. How many people say, I'm making some adjustments? So I need to watch my attitude. I need to watch my aim. Meaning our aim should be faithfulness. Say our aim should be what? Faithfulness. And listen, not necessarily greatness. Remember, our aim should not to be great, but to be faithful. I'm hearing a lot of that today about greatness. About greatness. Matthew 25:21. Just write this down. And I'm going to go to it in a second, but I just want to quote this part. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what the Lord. Well done, thy what? Good and faithful, not thy good and great servant. In fact, I want to take you somewhere. Keep your finger there in Luke. Go to Matthew. Go to Matthew's gospel. Flip to the left. And Matthew's 20. Matthew's chapter 20. Because it sounds good. Oh, I'm great. You know who's great? God. I'm going to tell you something about that in a second. Matthew, look at Matthew 20. This is what Jesus is teaching, your Lord. If he's your Lord, is he your Savior and your Lord? Matthew 20, verse 26. Everybody there? Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. But it shall not be among you. So some of the disciples, they were talking about being great. They were talking about being over people. You got some folk, they just want to be over somebody. They want to be able to tell somebody what to do. Some folk, they try to do all kinds of things so they can be in a position to tell folk what to do. Oh, you got to watch it with that. I didn't chase after being a pastor. Can I tell you? Yeah, had no idea. I'll deal with that another time. But my point that I'm saying is, you got to watch it. Who you following? Look at 26. But it shall not be among you. If you read up there, basically the mother of Zebedee. Look at Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. This is desiring of the Lord. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in the kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. Okay. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers, because they were trying to be above them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Do ye know that the princes of Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they are great, and they that are great exercise authority upon them? But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let them be your minister. Look up the word minister. It means servant. We like, oh, you minister. Oh, that means I'm gonna, you know, that means I'm gonna be, you know, hey. No, it's service. Being a servant, providing a service. And whosoever will be chief among you, let them be your servant. Is that what it said? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So what Jesus is saying, if you want to be great, you need to be a servant. Jesus was teaching that greatness comes from serving God and others. Now God will use us. Now listen, God will use us to do great things. Listen, or exploits for him. But our aim should be faithfulness. Are y'all following me? Faithfulness is as a servant and manager is not automatic. It's intentional or on purpose. So it's purpose in our heart to be what? Faithful, a faithful servant and manager. Our text says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a person be found what? Faithful. This text implies that God is looking again for what? Faithfulness. Say faithfulness is not automatic. And not all stewards or managers are faithful. How many people know that? Some folk ain't even aiming to be faithful. Are you aiming to be faithful? I'm aiming what? To be faithful. As stewards and managers of what God owns, he requires, again, our what? Faithfulness. I'm aiming to be trustworthy. Are you aiming to be trustworthy? Amen? Everybody, who's aiming to be trustworthy? Amen, amen. So you got the right aim. So how many people say, I got the right attitude? I got the right aim? But it's also in preparing for our next level by assessing and addressing our current level. And then perhaps in addressing our current level, we may have to acknowledge certain areas where we haven't been faithful. And then repenting about it. How many people know what we're talking about? So I want to deal with preparing for where you're going by assessing where you are right now. First, you have to know where you are before you can know where you're going. The word assessing means to evaluate or estimate something. It's taking inventory. How many people have taken inventory of your life? How many people are willing to? If your current goal, listen, is to get out of debt, do you know how much you owe? Do you know how much you owe? If somebody came up to you and said, you know what, if you can tell me exactly what you owe, I'll pay that off. Do you know how much you owe? How bad is the debt? See what I'm saying? This is assessing your current level. So if my goal is to come out of debt, do even I know how much I owe? How bad is the credit? This is just a fireside chat. We're getting ready to stop in a little bit. But sometimes this is the stuff folk don't want to mess with. They think, oh, if I don't think about it, then it ain't there no more. No, it's there. It's there. But to be a faithful steward, a manager over what God has given unto me, I need to know what God has given to me, and I need to know what I owe. You know why? Because where am I contractually bound? Am I responsible? Am I a faithful servant? If I'm a responsible servant, you sign somewhere and you owing everybody. Oh, yeah, this is going to be, I told you it's going to be one of these messages because we're dealing with stewardship. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And we have shared, thank you, Sister Falk, we have shared in the past, the issue is not the 10. The issue is the other 90. It's the part that you don't allocate it out as to the reason why now you can't. Whose choice was that? Oh, yeah. This is a pastor going to bring it right to you. Where is that so we can grow? Said, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because you know what? If God don't help me, it ain't going to be tell. But I'm letting God help. Because I want us to grow. I want us to be what God created us to be. Do what God created us to do. Amen? Not just to, well, you know, that ain't there. No, it is there. It's assessing and evaluating where you are currently at in life and what you're and what you're currently in terms of the where you're at in life and what you have in life is what we're talking about. This was our last scripture. I want you to go now to Matthew 25. We're going to close right here. I want to thank everybody for your time. Say assessing and addressing. So we talked about, look at the A's now. I just want you to remember, I'm praying that you remember it or get it down in you, is my attitude and my aim. But then I need to assess and address. So my attitude about my current level, my aim to be faithful so I can move to my next level. I need to assess my current level and address where I'm at. Because don't just look at it. I need to do something. And part of that may be me acknowledging another A. Acknowledging where I have not been faithful on my current level. And I'm not sharing with you about nothing that we're not personally involved in. In every area of our lives, what God has entrusted to us. What has God entrusted to us? It may just be one area. You may be doing fine in that area. But then there may be some other areas God is saying, I've been trying to get you to see. You've been wanting to move to the next level, but I'm trying to get you. I want you to be faithful where you at your present level. You keep talking about your next. I'm talking about your now. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. And look at verse 14. There's so much that we could deal with here. And we'll move to it next week. The Lord says the same. The following week, because like First Lady said, y'all know on next Sunday is Mother's Day. Our mothers, honoring our mothers. But Matthew chapter 25, are you there? Look at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven, this is Jesus teaching. Notice he's teaching this. He says the kingdom of heaven is like, or is as. And that word as means like a person traveling in a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants. If you don't already have that underline his own servants. He called his what? His own servant. On his own. The ones he owned. And delivered unto him his goods. So remember we talk about managing what God owns. So he delivered on his. They were his own servants. And they delivered unto him his. He delivered unto them his goods. Say his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. Many of us, you may already know this parable. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every person, every man according to his several ability. Say his several ability, or his own ability, and immediately or straightway took his journey. Y'all see that? Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a what? A few things. I will make thee what? Ruler over what? Many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And you see the same thing as you read on with the one that had 2 talents. So one that had 5 talents gained 5 talents more. So they doubled what they had. The one that had 2 talents doubled what they had. But the one with the 1 talent went and what? Hid, and notice if you look at jump to 25, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. One translation says unprofitable. We'll deal with that next week. The following week. Thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not straw. You should at least put my money in the bank of the exchanges so I can draw some interest with it. Ain't that what he's saying? So it says the first he called his own servants, right? Say his own servants, and delivered unto his servants his goods. So they were supposed to be faithful again with the owner's goods. Say with the owner's goods. Be a faithful manager with what? The owner's goods. And he gave, so everything you and I have, it belongs to God. Can we agree? Say God's the owner. But he gave it to them according to their own ability, according to what they can handle. So the one with the five gained five. The one with the two gained two. Right? But the one with the one went and hid what they had. Which means he really couldn't handle. He got it. He couldn't handle more than one. But he could handle the one. So he can't say, well, you only gave me one. Well, you could do something with the one. So you could do something with the least. And then you can double that. Are y'all with me? So the point that we're saying is, if God can trust me right now on my present level, God can trust me on any level. Just like the one with the five doubled it, the one with the two doubled it, but the one with the one said, I was afraid and I hid my talent. How many people say, I'm not going to be afraid? I'm not hiding my talent. Amen. I'm going to use what God has given unto me. How many people say I'm going to use what God has given unto me? Amen. So we are what? So I'm checking out my what? My attitude toward my current level. Right? My aim to be faithful on my current level so God can move me to my next level. But then what? Assessing where I'm at right now on my current level. But then also addressing it. Right? Because there may be areas I need to acknowledge where I haven't been faithful. How many people been there? How many people are there? Okay, that's why I say I ain't gonna lift my hand. No, we all have areas. Are y'all with me? But then, in terms of out of the acknowledgement, now God can move me to my next level as I address it, my current level. Amen? Let's give God praise. Yeah. I'm praying that we all grow and that we all are able to look at where we at right now so now God can move me to my next. How many people say I receive it? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, perhaps you're in here this morning in the